Verwandle deine Leidenschaft mit Shopify in ein Business und knack Umsatzrekorde mit dem Checkout mit der weltweit besten Conversion. Du hast richtig gehört. Der Checkout mit der weltweit besten Conversion. Der legendäre Checkout von Shopify vereinfacht das Shoppen auf deiner Website bis hin zu Social Media und überall dazwischen. Ja, das ist Musik für deine Ohren. Wie du es auch drehst und wendest, mit Shopify kannst du zu einem echten Hit werden. Starte deinen Test noch heute für nur 1 Euro pro Monat auf shopify.de/rekorde.
Question 13. I was mid-beer sip when the announcer, a cheerful man who I knew only by the name of Trivia Guy, read out the next question. In a human body, bacterial cells outnumber actual human cells by the ratio of 3 to 1, 10 to 1, or 6 to 1. It's 10 to 1, Jack said. He sounded pretty confident about it too. That's a common misconception, Liz responded, her eyes shining with the unmistakable joy of someone who's about to tell someone else they're wrong. It's actually a lot closer to 3 to 1. I was reading this article about gut microbiomes and fecal transplants the other day and... Jesus. I looked up at the plate of nachos shared between the four of us. The pile of chili on top didn't look as appealing as it had moments before. Can we not? She grabbed a chip herself. Then, in classic Liz fashion, continued to talk through her full mouth. All right, fine. But I'm telling you, it's 3 to 1. Jack grunted, writing something down on the answer sheet, seeing as Liz was a bio major and Jack was comp science with me. I hoped he took her answer. Question 14. Trivia Guy pulled no punches. According to a poll from Cosmopolitan magazine, the worst vacation fashion trend was Speedos, socks and sandals, or Hawaiian shirts. Socks and sandals, Sadie spoke up first. She didn't even wait for anyone else to comment before she snatched up the answer sheet from Jack and began to write it down. Oh, definitely, I agreed, a few moments too late for it to matter. But hey, Sadie was the reason our trivia team was ever anything besides dead last. Not to mention the only one of the four of us who'd ever cracked open a copy of Cosmo. I took another sip of the beer and cringed slightly. Corona is not what I normally go for. But that night, the price point meant a lot more to me than the quality. The night continued on in a haze of terrible beer and nachos that went cold far too fast. We didn't place this week, but we were all slightly buzzed, so we got over it. As Trivia Guy made his final remarks, the waitress came and gave us our bill. My total for the night was $40, and that was before adding a tip. I could cover it, but just barely. Sadie watched me as I pulled out the cash and put it down on the table, completely emptying my wallet of change. I stood up. My head spun for a moment, but it wasn't too bad. I think I'm going to have to skip next week. I didn't know why I felt the need to announce it to everyone. Probably the vodka that had come before the corona. I regretted it the moment I said it. Way to look like a broke loser in front of everyone. Great one, Brent. We shuffled out of the bar in a sea of other beer-sticky stumbling students. Lucky for us, it wasn't a long walk. All four of us lived on campus. There were probably cheaper places to get drunk on a Thursday, but there weren't more conveniently located ones, and certainly none with trivia. We said goodbye to Jack first, then Liz. I had a vague awareness of the May air being frigid, but it didn't register with me on a physical level. The alcohol had taken off the edge of a Canadian spring that still thinks it's winter. A coat would have been a more responsible way to handle it. But hey, whatever works. You're broke. The words weren't stated, but slurred. I watched Sadie as she swayed side to side. In the bar, it hadn't been clear just how drunk she was. A delayed reaction. She clasped her hands over her mouth, then said something that was probably... I'm sorry, into the palms of her hands. I just laughed. Yeah, I'm broke. What gave it away? The fact that I have no money? Not my cleverest comeback. Not technically true either. I didn't have money to throw around, but it's not like I'd starve. I still had my meal plan and two parents who tolerated me, so I wasn't exactly in dire straits. I've got an idea. She grabbed my arm, her nails poking me through my hoodie, and I recoiled, sharper than they looked. No, really. All right, what is it then? I half expected her to try and sell me on the essential oil nonsense I knew her sister was into. But then again, Sadie was always the brighter of the two. Dr. Davidson asked us to try and get him some subjects for some experiment he's running. She grinned. I had no idea who he was. Being in comp sci myself, I wasn't familiar with any of the professors over in the psych department. I thought she'd said the name before, but I was never good with names, especially the names of people I had no reason to care about. Okay, and? I'd gone into experiments at Sadie's behest before, and never really gained that much from the experience. In one of them, I got 2 marshmallows, which I appreciated. Most of them just involved watching videos of shapes dancing around on a screen and then writing a story about whether you thought the triangle and the square were friends or enemies. Neither one of those were going to help me buy a night of beers. He's paying participants $100 for being a part of it. I froze in my tracks. $100 wasn't life-changing, not for me anyway, but it was more than enough to solve the problem of not having the spare cash to get wasted. I wanted to do it myself, but he says we're not allowed to do it if we're in his class. He doesn't want to inadvertently prime us or anything. Hell yeah, I nodded, though Sadie hadn't asked the question. Yeah, I'll do it. That sounds great. Do you think there'll be any marshmallows? Before long, we were at our dorm complex. I helped Sadie into a room, and in return, she promised me that she'd text me the details in the morning. I made my way back to my own dorm. I unlocked the door and sighed. I hated the room. It was small, scarcely room for a single nightstand between Tariq's bed and my own. He was asleep already, a flat cardboard box that smelled of pepperoni flipped open on the nightstand. He was a good enough guy, but God, the number of pizza boxes that room had seen must rival all of Italy. I was asleep by the time my head hit the pillow. I awoke what felt like 5 minutes later to the blaring of my alarm. The morning began like any other, with me blindly grasping for my phone. Alarm turned off, I noticed the text from Sadie. She'd kept her word, as she always did, and sent me the details on where and when I could find Dr. Davidson. Lucky for me, I had no classes that Friday. I'd done my darndest to cram everything else into the other 4 days of the work week to extend my weekend. When I finally rolled out of bed, around 11:30, there were only 2 things in my mind: breakfast and Davidson. After pancakes and coffee, thank God for meal plans, I took another look at the text. Davidson's office was, to my surprise, in the science complex. Most of the Sadie's classes were in the McPherson's building, an ancient brick monolith crawling with ivy, and that was where all the studies I'd been a part of before had taken place. I'd assumed that's where I'd find Davidson, but apparently not. Davidson's office hours weren't until 3, so I headed back to my room to get showered. I didn't know exactly what kind of test subject he was hoping for, but I figured being halfway presentable would probably be a good start. I nearly tripped over Tariq's iPad in the process. He had a habit of leaving it unlocked on the bathroom floor, for reasons I tried not to learn. Stone cold sober, I made the decision to wear an actual jacket as I headed off to the science complex. The building had a name other than Science Complex, but I can never remember it since no one called it that. It was the newest building on campus, one of those angular glass monstrosities that makes any fan of classical architecture cry and bemoan the decline of society. I liked it well enough, but I was in the minority. I got lost finding my way to Davidson's office. It was in the basement, and none of the elevators seemed to go down there. It was only after talking to a group of 10 zoology students that I managed to get conclusive directions. As far as basements went, the science complexes was pretty damn classy. Since they couldn't carry on the whole glass walls theme underground, they gone with a smooth, black, faux marble. comparing it to the basement where one of my small group sessions took place, where the black on the walls was most certainly mould. I felt a surge of jealousy. Davidson's office was not as classy as the surrounding corridors. Papers lay scattered around an oak desk, clearly much older than the building itself. A man, even older, still seated behind it. His hair was dark, but streaked with grey that he made no attempt to cover, and his face was softly wrinkled. Looking at him, I had no idea how old the man was, but presumably old enough that he should have done a better job cleaning the place. I knocked on the open door, and he looked up. His brow knit together, and he squinted. The face of someone trying to figure out if they're supposed to know you or not. "Dr. Davidson?" I asked. His name had been on the door, but it didn't hurt to confirm. He tilted his head like an inquisitive puppy, and I winced as his neck cracked. He didn't seem to notice.
"Yes?"
His voice caught me off guard. It was smoother than I would have assumed from his appearance. He waited patiently, big brown eyes staring expectantly in my direction.
"I'm here about the, study?"
It would have helped had I known what he was researching, but Davidson beamed up at me. Clearly, he knew what I was talking about, even if I didn't.
"You're interested in participating?"
"Yeah, a friend of mine, Sadie. She's in one of your classes." I watched him process the name, trying to figure out who Sadie might be. "She said you were doing a study with... compensation?" I winced after saying it. Way to look desperate.
"Yes,"
he smiled, shaking his head, bemused. "100 as soon as you're approved, and 100 at the conclusion." My eyes bulged. Sadie had said there was $100 compensation total. I guess she'd finally been mistaken about something. All the better for me. Davidson rifled through the papers on his desk, licking his thumbs to help him separate a set of sheets. "We'll need to make sure you're fit first, of course." He held two pages out, and finally left his doorway to approach the desk. Both of these can be done at the clinic at Stonemason Avenue. I frowned as I took the papers. This I wasn't expecting. One was a letter requesting an EKG, and the second, a blood test. "You'll need to put your info at the top of those there, but once you've filled them out, you can get tested. They fax the results straight to me, same day." For a moment, I wondered what kind of psychology experiment needed an EKG and blood test, but the doctor continued. "Once you've got the documents, you come back and we can fill out your consent form and..." He paused, grinning. "Get you the first payment." Despite my moment of apprehension, I was grinning back at him. I took one more look at the papers and gave him a nod.
"Awesome."
Davidson let me know my deadline for the testing, but he didn't need to. The second I was out of the science complex, I was on my way to the clinic. When both tests were through, it was dinner time. My parents are coming to visit on Saturday, and Davidson had no office hours Sunday. So I resolved to visit him right at 3 on Monday. The weekend flew by. It always did when my parents came. It was their mission to cram as much family time as possible into every visit. They lived just an hour away from the campus, but I was an only child. I didn't really know what it was like for them, but I must have made the house feel different for me to not be around. Dad was always saying how empty it felt, while Mom told me how happy she was that I was pursuing my passion. Mixed messages maybe, but I think they just missed me. I miss them too. We were always close. I woke up at 7:45 a.m. on Monday. I was one of the few who liked morning classes. I thought it was more practical to get class done early in the day, so I had the afternoon to do whatever I wanted. This meant, by the time 3 rolled around, I was finished class for the day and ready to pay Davidson another visit. His office was tidier than it had been the last time. Papers were still scattered around the room, but they coalesced into semi-defined piles. He seemed excited to see me.
Wonderful news, was how he began the conversation. The blood test and EKG had come through normal, which meant that it was time for me to sign my consent form and receive my first payment. I skimmed the document. I didn't understand a lot of it, but I also didn't care. Much to my surprise, this wasn't going to be another marshmallow or shape storytelling study. This was a full-on medical trial. Or, well, something like that. I was fuzzy on the details. Myself and the other subjects were going to be given some sort of supplement. I wasn't on any medications they could interfere with, and I didn't have any heart conditions that they could aggravate. Animal trials had indicated that, in mice, the supplement boosted reaction times and functioning in tests of reasoning. The most notable finding was that the rodents were more, quote, generally perceptive, whatever that meant. The last sheet of the document included a list of 7 other names. Below that were 2 lines for me to sign, one confirming that I consented to take part in the study, and the other confirming I did not know any of the 7 listed people. I scrawled Brent Haywood twice, wrote my phone number and email below, and a few minutes later, I was walking out the room with $100 cash. I was giddy. $100 wasn't much, but at least I wasn't going to miss trivia after all. I didn't see Davidson again until Thursday. He'd emailed asking me to meet him and the other participants in the science complex. This time, we didn't meet in the basement, but in a small, above-ground lab. I thought I was prompt, getting there right at 3. But when I walked in, there were already 9 people present. Davidson stood at the front of the room, a tray of bottles behind him. He flipped through some papers, whispering to the woman standing next to him. The other 7, clearly students, were in chairs organized into a rough semicircle. One seat remained right on the end, next to a girl who looked to be a year or two my senior. Her brown eyes were warm and inviting, and I'd be lying if I said I wasn't interested. She smiled as I sat down. I opened my mouth to greet her, but Davidson cleared his throat to gather our attention, cutting off any attempts at flirting. Hello, he smiled and waved, and I couldn't help but smile back. In the light of the lab, not crammed behind a desk, he looked a bit better off. He had an energy about him, the kind that radiated from anyone who has a genuine passion for what they do. You all know me, but I'd like to introduce you to Miss Gill. She's a fantastic woman, and she'll be assisting me throughout the duration of this study. Miss Gill and I have worked together for the last few years, and she's already taken the lead on some of our most recent animal studies. Davidson beamed like a proud parent. The faintest pink blush graced her cheeks as she smiled. Nice to meet all of you. I've got all of your consent forms here, but I would like to ask one more time before we begin. Do any of you know each other? I looked down the line of chairs. Counting me, there were 4 men and 4 women. It struck me as an awfully small group, but this wasn't my field. I didn't know any of them. One man looked familiar. I'd definitely seen him before. I was about 90% sure he worked at the subway on campus. That hardly counted as knowing him, though. I looked back to Gil and shook my head. There were some murmurs of no from my cohorts. Excellent. Now, it is absolutely critical to the integrity of this study that at no point do you attempt to contact any of these fine folks outside of the context of the study. As we want to measure your individual responses to the supplement, we don't want to muddy the waters by having you discuss your experiences with each other outside of the lab. I shot the girl next to me an exaggerated frown. She stifled a laugh and turned her eyes back to Gil. Gil went on to explain the process. She would be giving us each a bottle of the supplement. We were to take 1 pill each morning at 8 o'clock. Failures to take it on time would need to be reported immediately. Every weekday, we'd report back to the lab at an assigned time and complete some basic reasoning tasks to assess any impact the supplement had on our abilities over time. For me, that meant I need to haul my ass out of Science Complex at 7 o'clock in the evening for the foreseeable future. I scowled. That was going to be annoying. The good news was that we had no need to show up on the weekends. The next morning, I woke up at 7:45 with a mild hangover. Trivia had been the night before. I thanked Sadie again for the lead, and she'd admitted she was surprised about the fact that there were only 8 people there. I expected more, she told me, sipping on a cider. Assuming half of you are actually taking the supplement, the rest the placebo, it's only 4 people in each group. Who cares? I asked, holding up my own. No discounted Corona this week. Cheers to Davidson. It didn't take long to make my hair look tolerable and pull on some clothes. A second alarm went off at 8, reminding me that it was time for me to take my first dose of the supplement. Tariq, not a morning person, growled into his pillow. I didn't give the pill itself much thought. It looked like a multivitamin, and it tasted like something that had fallen to the back of an oven and continued to burn there over a year before someone realized and pulled it out. I nearly gagged, but it was nothing half a bottle of Sprite couldn't help with. Nothing felt out of the ordinary throughout the day, but I wasn't really sure what I'd expected. It sure as hell wasn't the pill from Limitless. The only difference I really noticed in my own behavior was that I was overanalyzing everything I did and trying to figure out if it was the pill's fault. Was I slightly jumpier today? Was I thinking about the pill too much because of the pill? No, none of that, obviously. At 6, I grabbed a quick dinner with Liz, Jack and Sadie. When I was done, I headed off to the lab and arrived just before 7. Subway guy was leaving as I went in. We gave each other a nod of recognition as we crossed paths. Inside the lab, Gil and Davidson were seated at one of the black lab countertops. In front of them were some sheets of paper and some red and white tiles. I recognized them from when I was younger. In grade 4, I'd had to do some sort of test with those tiles, where they showed me a picture of a complete pattern and I had to assemble it myself. I hadn't expected to see them at 22. Davidson seemed happy to see me and gestured for me to come sit. The next 20 minutes were spent on a variety of tasks, not just reasoning, but memory as well. In one of them, they read me a series of numbers, and then I'd have to recite them backwards. I didn't do particularly well on that task. I was more confident with the tiles, at least. Time flew by. Gil was the one who actually administered the tests, while Davidson took notes, grinning the whole time. I wondered what he was so excited about. It couldn't have been my test results. Finally, they took my blood pressure and sent me on my way. As I went to leave, the brown-eyed girl from the first day was coming in. She smiled at me, and before I knew it, I was smiling back. I just barely managed to choke back a high before we walked past each other, and I was back out in the hallway, alone. In the empty hallway, my heart was racing, and I couldn't tell you why. I felt sweat instantly start to build on the back of my neck. I'd almost said hi to her when I wasn't meant to. Davidson wouldn't have been happy. Was that it? Or was it the simple fact that she was hot and I wanted to talk to her? Whatever it was, it felt stronger than it should have. But god damn it, I was just overthinking things again. Days passed, following the same pattern. I'd get up, I'd take the pill at 8, and I'd spend the rest of the day overanalyzing everything I did. Each day it worsened, because I had another 24 hours of evidence that I was overthinking. My heart was getting one hell of a workout, though Davidson and Gil never commented when my blood pressure was taken. A feedback loop sparked a life deep inside my chest. I'd hear my heart hammering away, and I would feel anxiety make my hair stand on end. Then I would think about what I was experiencing, and the panic would grow deeper. I couldn't talk myself down from it. Every time I tried, my body would fight against me, digging in its heels, turning up my nerves. By Monday, I was on edge in a way I'd never experienced. In the past, I hadn't had a leg shake. Now, crammed into my lecture theatre seat, laptop balanced on the tiny desk, my right leg was positively vibrating. I nearly leapt out of my seat when Jack asked me if I could double-check a piece of code he had written. "Jesus, dude." He looked me up and down. "Are you all right?" I nodded, but speech hadn't come back to me just yet. I closed my eyes, breathing deeply and rhythmically in an effort to calm myself down. After a few moments passed, I was able to speak. "Yeah, it's just the study I'm doing. I think it's getting to me, man." Jack shook his head incredulously. "No, duh." He turned, and as he did, his arm clicked the back of his laptop. Something in my chest exploded, and my vision completely grayed out. When it came back, my hand had Jack's laptop in a death grip. It was still sitting on the desk, but it was clear it had nearly fallen. Jack, mouth slightly ajar, stared at me. I swallowed hard, gently nudging the laptop into a more secure position on the table. As I pulled my hand back, it was quivering. "What the hell, Brent?" A few moments passed, the instructor droning on in the distance. "It was going to fall," I finally answered, my voice weak. My heart was still throbbing, and the beginnings of nausea tickled at my stomach. It was too much. I closed my laptop, slipped it into my bag, and walked out. The instructor paused to stare as I walked to the doors. I managed to choke out the word "sick" before I was out of the room. In the corridor, I broke into a run. I needed to go home. I needed to lie down. I spent the bulk of the day as a heap in my dorm room. I wasn't an anxious person by nature, so it had to be the supplements doing. What a shame. I feel like I'm going to die, but I don't feel any smarter. Thankfully, I had my laptop and Netflix. I stuck to watching comedies for the rest of the day. Eventually, my heart rate slowed to the point where it wasn't dominating my every thought. By the time 7 rolled around, I was in a state you might almost mistake for normal. A benefit, since I needed to haul my ass down to Davidson and Gill. I didn't see Subway Guy leaving the lab this time. I wondered if he'd left early, or maybe last time he'd left late. Oh well. It was much the same as Friday. Little puzzling questions, tests of memory, rearranging tiles. If anything, I thought it did worse than I had on the first day. As it continued, anxiety began to rise in me again, building in my chest, setting my nerve endings on fire. I managed to keep it all together until the very end. As I finished up the last of the tile activities, my thoughts were consumed by the fact that there was someone behind me. "Turn around, now they're behind you." I nearly snapped my neck, spinning around to look behind me. There was no one there, at first. A second later, the brown-eyed girl walked through the open door. Her eyes instantly met, and for the first time, I saw her frown. It was probably off-putting to walk into a room and find someone staring directly at you. I turned, gingerly rubbing my neck, back towards the researchers. Neither was facing me. Instead, they were looking at each other. Davidson's grin was wider than ever, and a smile was playing on Gil's lips. Whatever that shared look said, I was deaf to it. Davidson turned and offered me words that gave me little clarity in the moment. "Brent, you're becoming an awfully perceptive person." Before I could respond, Gil stood up and gestured for me to leave. As I walked past the girl, she refused to look at me. That evening, I received an email from Davidson. There was going to be a slight change to our regimen. I was now to come in at 7:10. The message said that a greater effort should be taken to space out the subjects. I was feeling pretty spaced out myself. By the time I was back in my dorm, all I could think about was going to sleep. But it did not come easily. No matter how long I lay in the bed, tossing and turning, I never felt at ease. Eventually, with the help of a meditation app my mother had emailed me months ago, but I never bothered trying, I calmed myself to a point of stillness. That was when things got worse. I'm not sure if you have ever experienced sleep paralysis, but if not, consider yourself blessed. Instead of drifting to sleep, I felt a tingling sensation crawl across my limbs. I went to shake them out and found I was frozen in place. I couldn't see a damn thing. My eyes may as well have been glued shut. There were no dreams, no hallucinations to break up the blackness. As I lay still as a corpse, the tingling gave way to numbness. Before long, the only sensation I could experience was one of impending doom. I couldn't move, I couldn't feel. Unable to form rational thoughts in this dark void, I was absolutely certain I was going to die. I don't know how long it was I lay there in that worse than nightmare state, but eventually, it ended. I woke up groggy, no memory of any dreams. I don't know why I kept taking the supplement. Maybe it was morbid curiosity. Perhaps it was the manifestation of some deep-seated self-loathing I'd never bothered to unearth. Some sort of pill-popping lapel de vie. It doesn't matter why. It just matters that I did. I skipped class over the next few days, only leaving to get food and to visit Davidson and Gill for the next round of my testing. The researchers would watch my actions and smile at me, but I had no idea if I improved. Davidson seemed thrilled, but he wouldn't tell me why. "What's your problem?" Tariq had asked me on Thursday. I shrugged, my duvet pulled tight around my body. I was acutely aware of the dark shadows that hung below my eyes. Sleep was getting harder. Every night, the pins and needles, the numbness, the sensation that death himself was in the room with me seemed to take up a greater percentage of my sleep cycle. I was anything but well rested. My phone vibrated on the bed next to me, and I was angry. I shouted a string of expletives at the phone for daring to disturb me, at whoever was on the other end of it for having the gall to try and contact me, before tossing the damn thing to my bedroom floor. "You've lost it, dude." My skin prickled as he picked up a slice of pizza from the newest box he'd added to his hoard. I watched as he lifted the greasy, floppy triangle up to his mouth. When I realized he was going to drop it, I buried my head in my blanket. I didn't want to watch. I didn't want to be right. I didn't want to be perceptive. Through the blanket, I heard a muffled, "Damn it!" I screamed into the fabric. "For goodness sake, Brent, it's just pizza." I didn't respond. My hand shook and I held the blanket tighter. I gripped it so intensely I feared my nails might tear through the fabric. "Hey, it's almost 7. Shouldn't you be leaving?" Tariq spoke, clearly not out of genuine interest for what I was supposed to be doing, but because he'd found a great way to get rid of me. Motives aside, he was right. I leapt off the bed, dropping the blanket on the floor as I went to pick up my phone from where it had landed. Moving helped. Terrifying though it was, walking across the campus managed to lessen the feelings, or at the very least, distract me from them. I broke down crying during the testing. Davidson lacked his usual grin, replacing it with a look of concern which, as far as I could tell, was genuine. He stopped the last test early. In what was clearly a breach of some sort of ethics code, he reached out to give me a pat on the arm. I recoiled before his fingers could touch me, the hairs on my arms standing on end like I'd stepped out into a hailstorm without so much as a jacket. I stared at him, rubbing my face with my other arm to try and get rid of the tears. Finally, he spoke. "I don't understand," he said quietly. At first, I thought he was talking to me, but he wasn't facing my direction. He was looking down at the sheet where he'd been taking notes. Then he said it again, more forcefully. "I don't understand." He turned to Gil. She shrugged. "What don't you understand?" I asked. There was a tickle on my arm where Davidson had nearly touched me. just a faint sensation, like a tiny spider had found its way into my skin when I wasn't looking. I tried to brush it off, but it wouldn't go. He didn't respond. He spoke again, but to Gil, rather than me. We need to stop this. What don't you understand? I meant to just ask, but somehow I was shouting. Somehow I was standing, scratching my arm as I shouted. You were our most promising candidate, Brent. His voice was quiet, and he refused to make eye contact. Your scores have gone up every day, by a significant margin. You've become so much more perceptive, but... There it was again. That word, perceptive. I suppose it was accurate too. I noticed people, sounds, things about to happen. I pay more attention to the world than I ever had before. I obsessed over it, whether I wanted to or not. But? Maybe too perceptive, Gil whispered as she looked up at me. I could see pity in her eyes. She was right. As I stood in front of the two, I felt everything. I felt the fabric of my hoodie rubbing up against my chest and the pressure of my jeans tight around my legs. I felt the crawling sensation growing across my skin, moving from one arm up to my neck to my face. For the final time, I ran from the lab back to my dorm room. Outside, the gentle wind hit my face, stabbing into my skin like icicles. My phone vibrated in my pocket, and I screamed as it buzzed up against my leg. I pulled it out, glancing at the message from Sadie. You coming to trivia? And I threw it as hard as I could against the pavement. I did not stop to look and see if it cracked. I left it behind and kept running. Back in my dorm room, the first thing I did was tear the sweater off. It was too much to bear. The rubbing of fabric against my body was nauseating, and the sensation of unseen spiders creeping across my skin had reached an apex. No matter how much I scratched, I couldn't stop it. In my absence, Tariq had left, so I had free rein of the dorm. I headed for the bathroom, hoping to scrub away whatever plagued me. It worked to some degree. The itching lessened, but did not dissipate entirely. When I stepped out of the shower, I looked at the mirror. I could see nothing there but my own face, the same as it had always been. There were no bugs visibly crawling across my skin, but I could feel them, less than before, but still undeniably present. I toweled off, then sat on my bed, attempting to comprehend what was happening to me. This wasn't imagination. Not according to Davidson, anyway. This was not simply hallucination brought on by lack of sleep. No, he'd said that I'd become more perceptive. So what the hell was I perceiving? As I sat, scratching my arms, the explanation came to me. When people say, the answer was inside you all along, I don't think this is what they mean. It started with a tickle in my throat, the kind that lets you know you've got the beginnings of a cold. I coughed, an attempt to make the sensation go away, but it failed. If anything, it made my throat itchier. I stood to grab a glass of water, and my legs shook beneath me. Something was deeply wrong. The itching, the crawling, had sunk far deeper down into my throat than any cold ever reaches. Once the awareness was there, I could not return to ignorance. There were things moving within me. I would never be rid of them. Deep inside me, there were billions of things squirming and twitching and pressing up against my internal organs, and I could feel every one of them. Now that I had become perceptive enough to feel them, there was simply no way to stop. I tried to scream. I felt the movement on my throat and stopped because it was agonizing. I tried to stand, but the billions of living things inside me crawled and shuddered as I moved. Innumerable flagella smacked against the walls of my intestines as I shifted, miniature whips cutting into me. I wanted to destroy each and every one of these legions of invaders who I had never asked for, but who I would die without. I wanted to lacerate my abdomen, pry myself open and scrape them all out until only I remained, just me, I tried to stand, but I hated it. I despised them, writhing and scratching inside of me. Unable to take the sensation, I fell to my knees. The carpet burned like I had fallen into a lit campfire. Everything was too much, and there was no escape, because it was on me and within me. I started to sob, and the tears seared my flesh like acid. I don't know how long I was there, on my hands and knees, gasping as everything within me twitched and moved and boiled. There was nothing I could do to quell the sensations. Crashed there, in the middle of my dorm room. But I knew how to make it all stop once and for all. And so, I began my mission of dragging myself to the bathroom. I pulled myself there on my hands, and my knees dragged. They turned red and raw, and they felt like they had been shredded to the bone. The things in my guts wriggled and whipped, and the things in my skin itched and crawled. It was an agonizingly slow process. Eventually, my desperate, reaching palms were met with the cold tile of the bathroom floor. It was like passing from a volcano to a glacier, but I forced myself onward. My hand grasped for the latch on the cabinet under the sink. I sit here with a bottle of drain cleaner in one hand, the other pressed to the floor as I try to hold myself up. Every second that passes, I still feel them, on me and in me. I'm not an idiot, you know, but there's only one way out of this. The good news is that I'm going to take every one of these little critters down with me. There's one thing, though, that I can't help thinking about as I sit here, trying to overcome the sensations long enough to do what needs to be done. For my family's sake, I hope I wasn't in the control group.
Verwandle deine Leidenschaft mit Shopify in ein Business und knack Umsatzrekorde mit dem Checkout mit der weltweit besten Conversion. Du hast richtig gehört. Der Checkout mit der weltweit besten Conversion. Der legendäre Checkout von Shopify vereinfacht das Shoppen auf deiner Website bis hin zu Social Media und überall dazwischen. Na, das ist Musik für deine Ohren. Wie du es auch drehst und wendest, mit Shopify kannst du zu einem echten Hit werden. Starte deinen Test noch heute für nur 1 Euro pro Monat auf shopify.de/rekorde.